It's great to be up here with all of you today. It's been a while since I've been on stage, since you've seen me participate in service. I was supposed to preach a few weeks ago, but Pastor Jason graciously took over for me. Life has been pretty challenging in my family, and I've been pushed to my limits and have spent the last few months just trying to get through each day. So it's difficult to be in a tough spot in my personal life and also be in ministry. I want to be seen as sort of, having it all together. And yet it feels really vulnerable to prepare a sermon and try to be authentic. So when the staff decided to take a pause in between our sermon series and focus on missions for a few weeks, I thought that would be great for me. I love missions. I was a missionary kid, and I could just tell other people's stories. But then, of course, true to form, God started impressing upon me what he wanted me to share with all of you this morning. And it was far from your typical mission Sunday. So I want to focus this morning on being faithful. First, we can see this as God being faithful to us. Deuteronomy 7:9 says it like this: "Know therefore that the Lord is your God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." This is fundamental to God's nature. He created people in his image. He promises never to leave us or forsake us. And he loves us with an unconditional and everlasting love. We can also use the word faithful to describe our commitment to God and our commitment to other people. This is the harder part. As I look at the missionaries that Evergreen supports, I can definitely use this word to describe their commitment to God and to the people that God has called them to. So this is what God has been teaching me. God desires for us to be faithful to him and to what he calls us to. We are not responsible for the outcome. Let me say that again. God desires for us to be faithful to what he's called us to, but we are not responsible for the outcome. The calling may change and not meet our expectations. Things will often not go the way we planned or expected, but that doesn't mean that we heard God wrong or that we failed in some way. God honors our faithfulness. I came across this quote from Mother Teresa: "God does not demand that I be successful. God demands that I be faithful. When facing God, results are not important. Faithfulness is what is important." Mother Teresa definitely lived a life of sacrifice. From the young age of 12, she felt the call of God on her life to be a missionary and to share God's love. At age 21, she became a nun and started teaching at a girls' school in Calcutta. As she was teaching, she was moved by the needs of the children outside the building in the slums. So she began an open-air school for them, for these slum children, with absolutely no funding. This eventually grew into the organization called Missionaries of Charity. This order has spread to many countries all over the world as missionaries seek to bring dignity and the good news of the gospel to the poorest of the poor. To the world standards, Mother Teresa had very little material wealth. They may see her as unsuccessful. I'm sure she had multiple disappointments in her life and struggles, but she was faithful. She stayed true to God's calling in her life. When I went to India in 2002, I spent a day volunteering at the home for the dying and destitute in Calcutta. This is one of the homes that Mother Teresa began, and it's still run by the Sisters of Charity today. It was one of the hardest and most profound experiences of my life. I spent 4 hours sitting by a woman who was dying, holding her hand, singing to her, and trying to spoon feed her a little bit of rice. When I had to leave, she smiled at me. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that experience with her or those moments that I spent with her. It really contributed to my call to ministry and desire to show God's love to people at the most difficult moments of their lives. So I'd like to focus today on three missionary families that Evergreen supports who are serving in the Democratic Republic of Congo. I had the privilege of visiting all three of them 15 months ago. Unfortunately, the internet is very slow for them now, and they haven't been able to send any pictures. So you have to use, you have to look at pictures that I took 15 months ago. So sorry they're not completely up to date, but I first want to talk about Kyle and Katrina Williams. They, along with their four kids, are completing their first term in Kikongo this month. They fly back June 20th for their year of home assignment in the States. It has actually been a very bumpy road for them, filled with disappointments and frustrations, but also much joy and thankfulness. When Kyle and Katrina were commissioned for Kikongo, they were really excited about teaching at the Pastoral Training Institute and helping to train rural pastors for ministry. But unfortunately, during their year of language school after their commissioning, the pastoral school actually shut down, and it was replaced with a full university. So when they arrived in Kikongo, the very ministry that they had been called to had been changed. There's still a ministry degree for the school, but the school was suddenly filled with all of these other students from larger cities and professors who would come and travel from the capital back and forth to teach for a few times. It was very different from the intimate pastoral training institute that they thought they were signing up for. But the Williams decided to stay. If they were going to be faithful to the term that God called them to. So even though Kyle hasn't been able to teach theology in the way that he had hoped, he has still formed amazing relationships with students and professors and been able to have incredibly deep conversations about who Christ is that has really brought him a lot of joy. Katrina was able to use her skills in bookkeeping that she didn't even think were needed. And she has been able to help bring order and balance to the university's budget, which was very necessary. Kyle has done actually more of the homeschooling of their kids than they originally planned, and Katrina has done more of the work with the university, but this has worked out really well for their family. Their prayer needs going forward are that they need a place to live and a car for when they're living in the U.S. for this next year. And also, we really need to be praying for a smooth transition for their children. They have four kids, ranging, I believe, 7 to 15. I'm hoping that they may be able to come and visit Evergreen sometime in the next year as they're in their home assignment. Glenn and Rita Chapman. Glenn and Rita have spent most of their lives living in Congo, both born and raised there as missionary kids and then returning to raise their own family as well. You may remember that they were here with us in February, which was so great to have Glenn preach that morning. The calling for them was always very clear. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 18, verses 29 and 30. Glenn and Rita have truly given their lives to making disciples, to education and creation care, among many other things that they've done in Kikongo. A few years ago, though, a new pastor came to the church. He was assigned to be the pastor of the church there, who would work very closely with Glenn and Rita in the Pastoral Training Institute. But this pastor had very strange ideas and beliefs from the very beginning. He started gathering young women around him to be his followers. He disagreed with most of the things that Glenn and other leaders were preaching and teaching. He started having his own segregated services and prayer meetings with his gathering of women and banned others from attending. The worst part was that when he declared that Glenn and Rita were actually of the devil and should be shunned from the church. So you can imagine the pain and the anguish that Glenn and Rita felt being treated this way from their own community that they had given so much of their lives to. Had they misheard God calling them? They had absolutely no control over this situation or any way of changing anything, but they stuck it out. They remained faithful. They continued to do their work despite so many whispers and talks from the village and people that ostracized them. Eventually, the pastor, for whatever reason, we believe by prayer, decided to leave. And the church has been able to come back together and heal after this false prophet caused so much damage. Glenn and Rita still have a lot of hurt from this experience, but they know that God has used it to teach them and the community how to be strong next time against false teaching. God has also used Glenn and Rita's commitment and faithfulness to the people of Kikongo to show them who God truly is, how he loves them deeply, not the way that this cultic pastor had expressed. So after a month, after the year of home assignment, Glenn has now been back in Kikongo for about a month, and he's really hit the ground running. Rita is in Sacramento because this week their third grandchild was born, and she was able to be with her son and daughter-in-law. So she will join Glenn now to Kikongo in a couple of weeks. This is actually the Chapman's final term in Kikongo before retirement. They feel this responsibility of being faithful now even more to the end of their term. The university at Kikongo has a lot of ups and downs, and Katrina Williams has been doing all the school's accounting. So now this means that Glenn, in his 60s, is now learning how to do accounting and using Excel. They could really use a business person to come to Kikongo and to help them sort out all the financial operations in the university, if anyone knows anyone. Glenn hasn't had internet in his home for more than a month, which means he has to get up and go to the school before 5 in the morning in order to try to send emails. So things have been very challenging for him, even in that month of being back. On top of all of that, he's responsible for teaching 4 courses by the end of June. The excitement and the good thing is that the students are preparing for their first graduation. Glenn successfully made it back to Kikongo with a whole suitcase full of caps and gowns to share with the Congolese people. The students were so grateful and just completely surprised and excited when they saw what he brought, and especially more so for the opportunity to study in this little tiny village in Kikongo and excited about their accomplishments. Mike and Jill Lowry. They have served in Congo since the 90s. They began as missionaries appointed to the Kikongo Pastoral Training School. They had many years of fruitful ministry there, and they truly loved there and felt called to those Kikongo people. But as their kids grew up and started attending school in Kinshasa, one year there was a need for parents to run the hostel for the kids that were boarding from other countries and other parts of Congo for that school. So the intention for them was to leave Kikongo for only a year and to go and fill that need and then go back and continue the work that they felt called to. But God had other plans. Mike is now the senior pastor of the International Protestant Church in Kinshasa. This church is the only English-speaking congregation, Protestant congregation, in the whole city of thousands of churches. They have congregants from over 30 countries, and some of them are temporarily working in Congo, so they attend church while they're there. Others are there more permanently. The church moved into a brand new building a year ago. You can imagine the impact of this church on the community of Kinshasa, but also as the people return to their home countries, now as believers. Jill has been working alongside Mike at the church, but has also been working closely with the Mitendi Women's Center. Mitendi also has many stories of people who are faithful to God's calling for ministry. As Mitendi provides training and skills like sewing for girls over 11 in the community, the impact of the program has been widespread. At one point, parents and observers in the community came to the leaders of Mitendi and said, "Why are you doing this just for our girls? We need this for all of our kids. Can you do something for our young children too?" So as the center added a school, there was not, you can see these rooms are very full. And they actually have like a staggered schedule. So they have kids that come in the morning and kids that come in the afternoon because they don't have enough space for all of the kids to come at the same time. So they are now in the middle of a brand new building project. And God willing, this time next year, there will be a brand new elementary school building to add to the center. The building is at 80% of its funding, which means that they can begin construction. This woman I met 15 months ago when I was there. She just retired after being on the staff of Mitendi for over, I don't know, many, many, many years. When I met her, she gave me the biggest hug and surprised me by saying that my father was the one that performed her wedding over 50 years ago. Her son-in-law is now the president of the new university in Kikongo. I was incredibly touched by the generations of faithfulness of believers that I met when I was in Congo. Mike and Jill have been faithful to the calling and to God, despite the changes in the location of their calling. She shared that they are still disappointed not to be in Kikongo anymore. That was really just, they loved, it was such a deep place in their hearts. But they continue to rely on God for each step of the journey. Mike has malaria right now, and he also has an infection in his leg. And they are supposed to be going to Goma tomorrow, which is the easternmost city in Congo, right on the border of Rwanda. And that is the place where you hear about most in the news that has the most political unrest and militant groups. So it's a very dangerous place. They're going tomorrow, and Mike isn't 100%. So there's a lot that we can be praying for them for. So how can we relate all these stories of people and cultures that some of us may never experience personally on the other side of the world? Faithfulness is not just for career missionaries. Each of us have a purpose and a calling from God. What is God calling you to be faithful to? Is it your marriage or another relationship that is really struggling? Is it to your job that isn't going the way you hoped? Is it to a family member who needs your time, your energy, your physical care? Is it to God, who you may have a lot of unanswered questions for, but really still desire to be faithful to him even in the midst of that? Kenji and I have really been struggling as parents these last few years, but more so in the last 2 months. This picture was taken on Easter of our son Raiden, a day before he turned 9. We celebrated his birthday. Our son, Raiden, looks like a typical kid, but he has ADHD and several behavioral disorders which make parenting him incredibly challenging. The list seems to be getting longer as he gets older instead of shorter. It's really discouraging. We have absolutely no control over what he's going through, but God has appointed us to be his parents. We love him. And we desire to be faithful to that calling, but it's not easy. Raiden started having tics in April. His tics are identified as coprolalia, which means actually only in 5% of people display tics like this, but it consists of calling out profanity and using vulgar language. This has really devastated us, as you can imagine. It's so confusing to him and hard for him to understand that as a 9-year-old, his body is saying things and doing things that he doesn't have control over, that he really doesn't want to do. I have never known anyone with Tourette syndrome or verbal tics in general, and so it's very confusing and unknown to me. The hardest part of the tics is that they're so unpredictable. So it's very difficult to be social. Raiden gets so embarrassed if the tics happen anywhere other than at home because he's afraid of how people will respond to him. We haven't been able to be in worship service together as a family for many weeks, and even eating a restaurant or sitting in a doctor's office is tough. The tics have actually, praise God, improved tremendously in the last few weeks, but now he's starting to develop new ones. We pulled him out of school at the end of April due to a lot of anxiety that he was having, and we homeschooled for the rest of the year. Praise God, this week he finished third grade. That is a real victory that he was able to complete all the work and finish. But we have no idea what's going to happen in the fall. We don't know if he'll be able to go back to his regular classroom or if he's going to need to be homeschooled again. It's really a journey for us that's very unknown. So what does it look like for us to be faithful parents to Raiden and to our 3 other kids in the midst of all this uncertainty and struggle? I've been clinging to Romans 5. Verse 5 says, I'm sorry, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Pastor Jason shared this with the staff a few weeks ago in our weekly staff meeting, not knowing that I would be walking in halfway through his reading, and it was very hard for me to listen to it. The last thing that I felt was glory in all the suffering. I also felt no hope. But man, when you have no hope, it's so hard to be faithful. It's so hard to persevere. No hope is a really, really dark place to be in. I know many of us have been there. I still have no idea what the future will hold for Raiden. I can really get caught up on the next week or the next month or the next year for him, let alone what 10 or 20 years are going to be like. We actually plan to take our kids to Disney World next week and to visit my family in Maryland before any of this started happening. So now, not only am I worrying about regular vacation stuff with 4 kids, I'm also worrying about tics on the airplane, waiting in lines, having tics in the middle of my grandmother's assisted living place. In those moments of deep darkness, we have to cling to these verses. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. This is how we remain faithful. In our own power, we give up. The Chapmans and the Williams and the Lowrys, they could have given up months or years ago. Kenji and I could give up on parenting in public and decide that we're never going to leave the house again. But God has called us to be faithful because he is faithful. We remember that our sufferings produce perseverance, character, and hope. And that's what keeps us going, trusting in God, refusing to give up. With God's help, we can be faithful in what he's called and asked us to do. Let us pray. God, I want to lift up the needs of our beloved missionaries that are serving in Congo. I know, God, they feel so isolated sometimes, especially in Kikongo, where you can't just get in a car and go and see a friend or family or even eat in a restaurant. God, it's such an isolating place and so insular, and yet the Williams and the Chapmans have dedicated themselves to living there and to doing your work. Lord, we especially lift up Kyle and Katrina and their kids to you as they prepare to leave for home assignment. God, thank you for helping them to finish their term despite all the bumps and challenges that they've had. And Lord, we pray that you would provide what they need as they are going forward. Please, Lord, provide the right house and the right city for them to live in, provide a vehicle. And we pray that their time visiting in churches all over the country would be healing and restorative for them as they share stories, God, of what you've done in their lives. May you really be also preparing them for the next place, the next thing that you would be calling them to, God, whether it's back to Kikongo or maybe in a new location. Lord, we pray for Glenn and Rita. We lift up the new university, UNIBOC, to you. Thank you, God, for providing a great educational opportunity for people in this very rural area. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen Glenn, especially as he's there on his own right now, missing Rita and not getting to meet his new grandson. Lord, he must be tired already, and especially knowing that this is the last term. God, would you strengthen him to finish running this race that has been set before him? Would you give him just, God, inspiration in his teaching? Would you provide the business help that they need for the finances? Would you enable him to learn Excel really well so that he can do what needs to be done in that interim? Lord, bless Rita as she's caring for her children right now, and bless her journey back to Kikongo in a few weeks. And Lord, we think of Mike and Jill as they were worshiping with their congregation this morning in Kinshasa. Lord, thank you for the calling that you've given to them to reach the world through this international congregation. We pray that you would give them the strength that they need, give them wisdom as they're working with so many different cultures and languages, and everyone's trying to communicate in English. Lord, would you be their communication? Would you enable them to understand each other? And Lord, especially we lift up Mike's physical body. We lift up the malaria that he's dealing with right now. We lift up the infection that he has in his leg. God, it's his desire to serve you and to go to Goma this week. And so we pray, Lord, that you would heal him miraculously and allow him to have the endurance that he needs to make that trip. We pray your complete protection upon them as they're in Goma. Make them be just supportive and an instrument of your peace and love to the people that they meet. May they bring joy and encouragement to them. And Lord, we lift up ourselves to you. We lift up the needs that each of us have in the quietness of our own heart right now. God, we're giving you the things in our lives that we are crying out to you to be faithful to. Lord, give us hope. Hope in your glory. Hope that our suffering is not the end. Hope that you are creating something in us, that you are teaching us and shaping us and challenging us and creating strong character and perseverance in us. Lord, it is our deep desire to be faithful to you. God, thank you that you are faithful to us, that your faithfulness never ceases, that your mercies are new every day. God, we cling to you in our moments of joy and in our moments of sorrow. God, make us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray.